There is no doubt, I mean, from all the medical information out there, that we are in a pandemic of the unvaccinated. If everyone was vaccinated, this pandemic would be gone.
That was the eminently qualified and world-renowned epidemiologist and virologist Bob Nicholas speaking on the floor of the Wyoming State House of Representatives. What a dope. Truth is, Bob Nicholas is not a scientist at all, nor is he a critically thinking lawyer. Well, I mean, he is a lawyer. I'm just really glad that he's not mine. Simply because logic doesn't seem to be one of his strong suits. Oh, it's totally true, and allow me to explain. You see, when a foreign organism enters our body's immune system mounts a defense. And the idea is, if our body is capable of killing off the virus, well then, it knows what to do the next time that foreign organism takes up residence in our nasal passages. Dare I say, our bodies adapt. Now, some viruses, some foreign organisms, our body's just not equipped to handle them. So we take what is called a vaccine. And if the vaccine is effective, it allows our immune system to completely kill it off. Now, in the off chance that this vaccine is not effective, well, then it just makes you feel a little bit better because it weakens the virus in your body. Unfortunately, though, that gives the virus time to adapt to the immune response that your body produces. Dare I say, it gives it time to mutate. And once it's fought off our immune system because our vaccine was not effective, well, then it is passed on to other people or other organisms. Dare I say, it is spread. Ray Charles could see that there's a lot of people that took this shot and still ended up getting COVID and ended up in the hospital. So wouldn't that mean that the vaccine, quote unquote, is not effective, quote unquote? Fascinating stuff, this logic, eh, Bob? Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Weekend Update. From high above all other pedantic and Lilliputian forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Yesterday, the Dow dropped over 900 points. Why, you might ask? Well, COVID, of course. You see, we blame everything on COVID these days. But this time, it's actually the truth. Everybody seems to be terrified of this new COVID strain that they're calling Omicron. From information that was obtained from cases in South Africa, this strain is a little bit more transmissible and is more resistant to treatments. We'll also discuss how the Red Star is acting like just about every other redcoat is. The masks are off, and they're showing us exactly who they are. A couple days ago, in their opinion pages, there was three opinion pieces that said we need to further restrict the Second Amendment. But before we do any of that, some completely egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, Pandora, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you have no idea what you're doing, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself just like you should have been doing this whole time instead of eating your pudding. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you in part by the Wing It Food Truck. If you haven't tried some of the most amazing wings in the state of Wyoming, well, you've been missing out. I highly recommend the garlic parmesan wings. They're incredible. To locate the truck, all you need to do is go to the sponsors tab at cowboystatepolitics.com and you can see exactly where they're going to be on any given day. We begin this morning with an article from The Blaze that was published yesterday, November 26th, entitled "New COVID Variant Considered Worse Than Delta is Spreading Rapidly in South Africa and Worrying Health Experts Across the Globe," written by Paul Shiver. And I quote, A new COVID-19 variant recently identified in South Africa is causing concern from public health experts across the globe due to its high number of mutations and increased transmissibility among young people. Some are even warning that the new strain could prove to be more dangerous than the Delta variant. It's unclear exactly where the new strain, formerly known as B.1.1.529, initially arose, but it was first detected in South Africa and has been detected among South African travelers in neighboring Botswana as well as Hong Kong, the Associated Press reported. On Friday, Israel also said it had detected cases. Over the past several weeks, COVID-19 transmission in the country had settled to a relatively low rate at just over 200 more new confirmed cases per day. But in the last week, the daily new cases suddenly shot up to more than 1,200. And then on Thursday, the number of new cases skyrocketed to 2,465. One of the most worrying elements about the new variant is its constellation of more than 30 new mutations, said Tulio de Oliveira of the Network of Genomic Surveillance in South Africa. We can see that the variant is potentially spreading very fast, de Oliveira added. We do expect to start seeing pressure in the healthcare system in the next few days and weeks. End quote. Here's Fox News' Dr. Siegel discussing the new variant yesterday morning.
You know, I've said before, Mike, I'm not always concerned about these variants of concern. But this one, B.1.1.529, does concern me. I'll tell you why. It's got 32 mutations in the spike protein, which is how the virus spreads.
Uh-huh. New mutations. Now, hold on just a second. I thought that the vaccine was going to save us from everything. Oh, no, I'm wrong again. I forgot this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, according to world-renowned epidemiologist Bob Nicholas. The truth is, there's good reason why we're seeing mutations from the COVID-19 virus. We're at least partially responsible for it. No, I'm not talking about the virus that was obviously created in a lab. I'm talking about the new mutations that we're seeing and the frequency of them. For a month, I've been holding on to some audio from an interview that Dr. Robert Malone did with Sean Hannity. Dr. Robert Malone is the guy that invented the mRNA technology that all of these vaccines are based on. And as you're about to hear, almost exactly what he told Sean Hannity in the interview is coming out in the papers yesterday and today. I've put a link to the entire discussion he had with Sean Hannity at cowboystatepolitics.com. It's a fascinating discussion, and you should really go listen to the whole thing. It runs about 30 minutes. Their discussion took place on October 29th, so about a month ago. Now, in it, he describes exactly what is going to happen to the COVID-19 virus, that it's going to mutate continually, and no small part of that is us, forcing just about everybody we could possibly can to stick a needle in their arm. We're partly to blame. So in this first soundbite, he's describing exactly what these shots are.
Can you explain to this audience, because I don't even know the answer, the difference between mRNA technology that you played a big part in discovering versus, say, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is more historically how they did it, the Moderna Pfizer vaccines would be this new technology, mRNA. Can you explain it?
Actually, you got something a little bit wrong. The J&J vaccine, and I've heard this before, the J&J vaccine is not a traditional vaccine technology. Okay, all three of those are basically gene therapy technologies applied to vaccines. But in this case, both the adenovector J&J and the Moderna or Pfizer, that's the mRNA, employ methods for putting a foreign genetic material into your cells, causing your cells to make the foreign protein spike, and then that is what generates the immune response.
Not at all different from what Cowboy State Politics has been telling you all along that this shot is. If you're interested, you should go back and listen to an episode called Questions You Should Ask, where we interviewed Dr. David Earl Grafe, and he said exactly the same thing that Robert Malone did only months ago. In this next piece of audio, Dr. Malone describes how the virus is going to respond to this universal vaccine policy that the Biden administration has enacted upon all of us.
Now what we have is evolved strains. So this is, fundamental Darwinian evolution kind of stuff, where you have selective pressure imposed by the vaccines, and no surprise, because you only have a single antigen, a single protein from the virus that's being produced in the vaccinated. No surprise that the virus is evolving to escape that immune pressure caused by those vaccines. Now, there's another wrinkle to this in that generally we use vaccines before we have a pandemic, right? That's how we need to try to get them out. And that's a different situation. Vaccinating into an ongoing pandemic when there's a whole lot of virus circulating is a whole different kettle of fish. And what happens then is you really do have a setup for development of these escape mutants, which is what you're seeing. The virus is evolving to escape the vaccines, and it will continue to do so, particularly if we have a universal vaccination policy. What we've got, I like to say, is the situation. I don't know if you have kids, sir, but I've raised
two
boys.
I have two kids. They're older.
Okay, so, mine are now married and off for their lives, but I always like to say, if you give a three-year-old a hammer, everything becomes a nail.
We'll get back to our program here in just a second, but first, a completely obscene profit timeout. Morton Buildings is by far the leader in metal building construction. They manufacture much of their own materials, and their crews do most of the work. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or really any type of structure, you should consider Morton Buildings. They're the best at what they do, and they've been doing it longer than just about anybody else around. Give my friends Nick and Jesse a call at 307-674-2532. Tell them what you have in mind, and they'll handle all the details. So give them a call or check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Don't forget about the Cowboys State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, tell everybody you know about it. I'll post all of the episodes there, but also anything I find during the course of the week that I think you might be interested in. A quick program note, on Monday I'll be visiting with Representative Chip Nyman. He's the author of the runoff election bill that's due to hit the legislature in this upcoming budget session. That bill is to be considered by the Corporations Committee next Thursday. And it's important that we all know what's in it so that we can get it passed. It's absolutely important for elections in the state of Wyoming. And now, back to our program.
Things, you know, this is, everybody can understand this. You know, you give somebody cool new tech that's really powerful, and they think that they can just drive all their problems home with that tech, but it's not that simple. And what we're at risk for with this universal policy is we're going to continue to generate escape mutants, and they will converge on escape mutants that, and this is happening, we can see it. And if you follow the genetics, it's kind of complex stuff, but it's for sure happening. It will drive towards some common set of variants that's really good at replicating and escaping the vaccine. And then what happens? Oh, the people that really needed the vaccine the most, the elderly, the obese, the immunosuppressed, they're no longer going to have first-line protection. They're going to be back where they were before, only with viruses that are even more highly replication competent, because that's the other thing that's happened, is these new variants replicate at much higher levels, whether you're vaccinated or not.
It's just like I was explaining in the beginning of the episode. Viruses are living organisms. They're living cells, and every living organism wants to survive. Just think about your own body. When you contract some sort of virus or bacteria, you feel bad for a couple days. Your body mounts an immune response, and then you start to feel better. So the next time you encounter that same bug, your body knows exactly what to do with it, and you probably won't get sick from it any longer. So what about eminently qualified virologist Bob Nicholas's claim about the unvaccinated? I don't want to ruin it for you, but it's exactly the opposite of what that dope claims.
So if you get infected, if you're vaccinated, here's the paradox. That is just, a lot of people are waking up to this, okay? There's all this talk that it's the unvaccinated that are creating risk for the vaccinated. Now, that just doesn't make sense when you think it through. If these vaccines are worth a grain of salt.
In other words, you're saying if you got the vaccine, you should be protected regardless of what the, how the logic
precisely
would go, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. So how does it make any sense at all that the unvaccinated are the ones that are the problem? In fact, what's happening is that the vaccinated are, when they are infected, and these, we now know with these new strains that their, the protection against infection is something like 40 to 60%. Okay, so it's really not that great. And if you do get infected, your chance of having severe disease is lower. Well, that sounds good, right? That's a good thing.
Well, that's what the science has showed us. You're right. And risk of hospitalization and death is lower. You're right.
Here's the wrinkle in that, okay, is that what that means is the folks that are vaccinated are still getting infected. They're replicating virus in their bodies at the same or higher levels than they were before. They're shedding virus at the same or higher levels than they were before. Remember at the beginning of the outbreak when we talked about super spreaders? We've created a whole huge bunch of super spreaders. So the truth is, it's the unvaccinated that are at risk from the vaccinated. Does that make sense?
It doesn't. It doesn't, because they're also at risk of just getting it also, especially the more highly contagious variants, no? If you're unvaccinated.
Yes, it's true. But the difference is that now we have folks walking around who think they're perfectly healthy, but in fact are making a lot of virus. And we have a lot of those people doing that. So that's the difference. You look at it sideways, different from the way you're being told.
It makes sense when you think about it. A little bit of logic, a little bit of a high school biology textbook, and there you have it. When this whole pandemic started, I wondered about applying the same treatment to everybody in the same way. No one person has the same medical status as any other. For instance, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and my doctor told me in no uncertain terms not to take the vaccine. There's one more piece of this that I want to play for you, and it's the logical conclusion of this entire vaccination discussion. You can probably already guess what's going to happen when you continue giving shots for an old variant of the virus.
That we're vaccinating for yesterday's virus. You're even more accurate in talking about flu. That's a super analogy, because for a number of reasons, many vaccinologists, myself included, think that over-vaccinating for flu is actually not a good thing. One of the things that's kind of a little bit worrisome about this, we're just going to go ahead and give everybody a jab every 6 months strategy, is there's a thing called high zone tolerance and another thing called original antigenic sin. So those are fancy immunology words, but what they equate to is that more is not always better with vaccines. More vaccination, more frequent vaccination, can in some cases actually make it so that you're less able to mount an immune response against the pathogen.
Just as dangerous as allowing politicians to manage a war, yeah, those always turn out great, we shouldn't have allowed politicians to manage a pandemic either. And yes, I am including Anthony Fauci in the politician category. To find out if that guy's lying, all you need to do is see if his lips are moving. Well, there you have it. Why the vaccinations are not effective, and why all of these mutations are still happening, and why people who get vaccinated still end up in the hospital. Now again, don't take my word for any of this. Do your own homework and read it for yourself. I put a link to their interview at cowboystatepolitics.com. Also, I put a couple links up there that'll tell you about Dr. Robert Malone, so you can check out his credentials for yourself. Next, we turn our attention to the Pravda on the Platte, the Red Star. Pravda was the Soviet state newspaper in the old USSR. Literally translated, Pravda means truth. On this past Wednesday, the Kasper Star Tribune published three opinion pieces, all of them calling for further restrictions on the Second Amendment. This should tell you a great deal where that paper wants to take you, and it's no place that Wyoming citizens want to go. In normal leftist fashion, all three of the op-eds reject the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. The left always refuses to believe that you have a sovereign right to protect your life and the lives of other people with a firearm. It's also incredibly important to point out that the Kasper Star Tribune did not publish these opinion pieces written by Wyoming citizens. Rather, they were all written by left-leaning newspapers throughout the country. not Wyoming citizens, two of which were written by the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune, and the third was written by the editorial board of the St. Louis Dispatch. Why then did not the editorial board of the Casper Star Tribune themselves pen their own op-ed, since obviously this is the prevailing opinion of that newspaper? It's because they know this is not the majority opinion of Wyoming citizens. When newspapers publish virtually unclaimed editorial pieces, one must assume that that is the prevailing opinion of the newspaper itself. And so, allow me to read just one small piece of one of those articles. And I quote, "But when Rittenhouse, now 18, faced his charges in court this month in a nice suit and tie, the white supremacist allegation died for lack of exposure. Circuit Judge Bruce Schroeder barred photos and video evidence of Rittenhouse's association with Proud Boys, a far-right neo-fascist group associated with such political violence as the January 6th Capitol insurrection," end quote. We are left to assume, since the Red Star printed this opinion in triplicate, that this represents the majority opinion of those that run the Casper Star Tribune. It's no wonder that their sales continue to plummet. The Casper Star Tribune is completely out of step with Wyoming citizens, the vast majority of whom own at least one firearm. Firearms in the state of Wyoming outnumber the population at least 10 to 1. The true number is most likely 20 to 1. No matter what the Red Star has to say about it. Instead of printing left-wing drivel written by people who have never been to Wyoming, the Casper Star Tribune should have their courage of their own convictions and write it themselves. On the other hand, though, instead of admonishing them for printing radical left-wing bullcrap, I should encourage them to continue to do so. It only furthers the popularity of this program. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday. From the base of the Bighorns, where we still believe in the Second Amendment, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.